Unlimited Digital Ramblings Podcast, brought to you by Click Through Marketing.
For the second time this month, we're back with an episode of the Assorted Digital Ramblings podcast. A few weeks back, we had Al Rowe speaking with us around everything conversion rate optimization. This time around, we're talking all things paid social media. I'm Chris, and I'm joined by my co-host, Liv, who should be in her absolute element during this episode, given this is Liv's specialism. One caveat before we start is that this is the germiest podcast we've ever done, so we apologise in advance for all the coughing and spluttering. But Liv, how are you? What have you been up to since we last recorded?
Hello, Christopher. I'm good, thanks. As Chris said, I think we're both very, very ill at the moment, so I sound like Chris, and Chris sounds like 3 decibels deeper than usual as well. Recently, I've been to Barcelona, which was...
How was Barcelona?
I'm such a little drama queen. It was really good, but I won't go back unless it was sunny. But I have a little anecdote, okay, which is really funny. So we were... like, there was me, my partner, and then our 2 couple friends, so there were 6 of us in total that went all together, and we went to a bar in Barcelona on the Ramblers, and this busker came round, and he was, like, singing, and he was going over to people who were, like, interacting with him the most, and obviously there was, like, me there, who's quite loud anyway, and then there was like 5 other drunken people who were just like clones of me, like shouting, just like having a good time with him. And he comes over and he says to one of my friends, "What's your name?" And my friend went, "Squidward." And he goes, "What?" And he goes, "Squidward." And he went, "Okay." And he went, "Where are you from?" And then we all went, "England." And he went, "Okay, Squidward from Finland." it's not funny at all, but it really, really is. And then he just sang a song and he was like, "Squidward from Finland, he's a nice guy." It's just like, yeah. Anyway.
I'm glad you keep yourself amused.
I really do, honestly. Oh. But super exciting podcast this week or this month, because my closest person in the business is the guest, who is the wonderful Amy Cox. Hello, Amy.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me today.
How are you? Are you excited?
I am, although I've never done a podcast before, so we'll see how this goes, but I'm sure it'll be fine.
Are we going to refer to you as Amy Cox throughout? Because you have to be full name, don't you, Amy Cox? I don't know why.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to do it, to be fair. It's going to have to be done.
Okay. So Amy Cox, introduce yourself, tell us what you do at Click3.
Thanks, Chris Roberts. So yeah, as Chris Roberts said, I'm Amy Cox. I'm the head of paid social here at Click3. I have been here over a year now. It was last Jan that I joined, which has gone very, very quick. So I basically just lead the paid social strategy and the team across all of our clients that run any paid social activity.
And I think it's fair to say you've probably got the most challenging role at Click3, because you have to manage Olivia Green, don't you?
I knew you were going to say that.
This is very true, no joking. It's an absolute pleasure.
Oh, thanks, Amy.
Does it not get a bit like wearing after a few days of like, "Oh, would you rather have no arms or no legs?" Like,
all I can say is that every day is not dull. It's very entertaining.
Even when she's ill. Exactly.
Even when she's ill.
Thank you, Amy.
So, Amy, if you didn't work in digital marketing, what would you do? What would your dream job be?
You always ask this, and it's so hard to answer. I originally wanted to go into art, because I did fine art at uni. Back in the day, I wanted to be an art teacher, but I used to lifeguard whilst I was at uni, and I soon came to realise that I don't like other people's children in certain situations. So yeah, I was like, you know what, I don't think I want to teach. And then, but if I had to pick now, probably like just a nice chilled dog walker. That'd be quite nice.
I'd like that.
Yeah.
I think that'd suit you as well.
So are you good at art? Are you a good drawer?
So whenever anyone asks me this, it's quite hard to answer because people probably imagine like amazing drawings, but art isn't just that. So I was more like, I explored a lot. I did a lot with textiles. So I say I was more creative than like good at drawing. But if I'm honest, since I started my career in digital marketing, I don't do anything because after work, I just want to chill and watch Netflix. So that degree went to great use.
You do really good cross stitches though. You do fabulous cross stitches.
Yeah, but that's easy. I do like cross stitching, but yeah, you just follow a pattern for that. But I will say though, I do think that my degree does help a little bit in my role, because although it is very data led, there are creative aspects, so maybe it wasn't all to waste.
It's probably not the most random degree that we've ever had someone do and get into digital art. So Liv, you've probably asked all your random questions to Amy over the course of the last year or so working together, but have you got any of your random questions for her now?
I have the best question in the world, and I was thinking about it last night because I saw two things that made me think of this question, which you'll understand in a minute. So the question is, what is something that's really like, it shouldn't annoy you, but you absolutely despise it? So just as an example, the two things that I saw last night that just really wound me up in general is like girls my age, and this is quite a nasty one, girls my age or just sort of like young adults driving like a Nissan Juke. It just really annoys me.
Specifically a Nissan Juke?
Yeah.
Just like, that one
like,
car?
Like a Qashqai or something, like a Kia Sportage. Like, go away, that's like a mum car. So that annoyed me. And the other thing was people who keep the Christmas lights up when it's not Christmas. Oh, I just despise it. Just get them down. Like, it only will take half an hour. So, anyway, what do you hate that sort of like, you really don't have any sort of like cause to hate it, you just hate it or just annoys you?
Okay, so where I live, there's like a little bit of a like a turny section in the road that it's not even opposite my house, it's like kind of diagonal to my house. So when people have like people come to visit, like friends, relatives, they use it as like parking spaces, which is fine for everyone who lives in our little road. However, there's a over 50s accommodation opposite, and I've spotted that someone who either lives there or visits there keeps parking in this little turny spot. And, like, obviously I don't have any right over this spot, but whenever I see the same car with the same number plate, I'm like, how dare they? Like, this is for our street. So, yeah, silly, I know, but that's mine.
That's a good one. That is a good one. Christopher?
How long have we got? Because I feel like I could probably easily fill the next hour.
I feel like you've got dad anger.
Stuff people do that annoys me. I'll start with them. I'll give you two. One's incredibly trivial. When people leave cupboard doors open, that really annoys me. Like, just shut the door. The other one that annoys me, and I see this on TikTok a bit at the moment, is people like making fun of other people when they're like working out and stuff. It's aww. Like, well, they're trying to get better. They don't need you poking fun at them. That really annoys me as well.
That's cute. That's nice. That's nice.
There's a list of 10 million things in the middle as well that people do, but they're the two that sprung to mind.
I think the gym one's quite nice. It's quite kind, actually. I wasn't expecting you to say quite like a kind one.
What do you mean? You think I'm not a kind person?
No, I just thought you were going to say, like, I don't know. I hate it when dogs poo or something. Like, just, like, really silly.
No, not at all. Anyway, let's move on to our actual topic. So, as an introduction, what exactly is paid social? And where does it sit in the sales and marketing funnel, Amy?
So basically, it's just any kind of advertisement on social media platforms. So everyone will have seen ads on their feeds. And that's basically what paid social is. In terms of where it sits in the marketing funnel, so it can sit in any part, really, because a lot of our clients, we run full funnel approaches. So you've got that awareness driving piece, you've got consideration, where you kind of drive in people to have that engagement or knowledge within the brand, and then you have that lower funnel activity where you're kind of driving that final conversion. So yeah, it's quite good how it can be used across the board, to be fair.
And I haven't prepped you for this, so it might completely throw you, but you know when you'll talk about something around the house and then you see an advert for it on paid social.
Oh.
How does that happen? Like, I swear sometimes I'll say something and then I go on my phone and there's an advert for it. I'm like, I've never searched for that before.
Everything's listening.
Well, this is my thought, yeah. So how do you target on paid social? Like, is it based on, I don't know, what's it based on? People's user behaviour, the demographics, what do you do? It's like, obviously, paid search targeting is pretty basic, isn't it? Mm. If someone types this word in, appear or not. How's it work with paid social?
Yeah, so it's literally like everything you said and more. So demographics, user behaviour, first-party data, third-party data, specific interests, job titles, it's competitors, like, there's so much that you can do. Like, literally, if a brand has a target audience that they want to reach, we can probably make that target audience up for them in one way or another. We can use a lot of retargeting methods as well, through the use of more technical things like pixels. So yeah, you can get quite like complex and sophisticated with your targeting, especially when using a full funnel approach.
Just as an example for that of how niche you can go, recently I built out an audience for one of the clients. I will not reveal any names, but it was based around Veruca's and warts and athlete's foot, which was really, really nice one to build.
So you're targeting sufferers of Veruca's warts and athlete's foot?
Yep.
And yeah, they say our roles aren't glamorous, right? And,
exactly. You can imagine how enthralled I was to be doing that audience.
I'm trying to figure out who this is, but you can tell me afterwards. So there's paid social that you've touched on, and then there's organic social. They're both obviously based on social media, but what's the difference between the two? Do they have different purposes? And how different are the KPIs between organic and paid social?
Yeah, so basically, in short, paid social is anything that has that paid element behind it. So it is that paid advertisement aspect, and it's basically reaching users outside of those who already follow a brand. Whereas organic, you're just pushing content to people who do follow those specific pages on the platforms. So paid is a lot more strategic, but they both should work in tandem. So you shouldn't be doing one without the other, because a lot of the time when you're using paid, people can then go to the organic pages and have a look at the content on there. So if you think about, if you got served an ad for something that you'd never heard before because that brand is growing awareness, and then you click on their organic profile but there's nothing there, like, what are you going to think of that? So yeah, it is very important that they work in tandem together, and we can also boost certain organic posts as well. So particularly on TikTok, this works really well because TikTok is different to all the other platforms. You know, it's a sound on video only platform, and UGC, so user generated content, tends to work better. So TikTok itself says, like, create TikToks, not ads. So that's where boosting can work really well, and obviously that is boosting the organic presence.
One question that I always get asked and always ask to sort of clients is, do you think that there's a direct correlation between sort of like an organic profile and how popular that is and how the ads do, whether it's on different platforms and stuff?
Yeah, so I think there is, because you need to have that kind of strong correlation between the two, and often, like, if you're doing well in paid, then that will kind of transpire into the organic presence, because it depends on the KPI that you have in place. Like, if, for instance, you want to grow your followers, then of course pushing people to follow your page, you're going to increase that organic following. So yeah, like I said, always good to have them both there, and equally they can both help each other out.
And you touched on TikTok just then, which I think is mine and Liv's favourite social platform, because we seem to talk about it every single podcast, regardless of what the subject is. You just written a blog about TikTok, haven't you? What was the crux of that?
So it was just kind of talking about how brands should be considering it within their marketing funnel, because some brands think that they can just start on any platform, but there's a lot of things that go behind it. So for instance, on TikTok itself, you couldn't just start with paid advertising. You would have to grow your organic presence, get your organic kind of niche, because you need to get people engaging with that organic content and be on top of trends. Like, TikTok is such a fast growing platform. I mean, if we were talking about it 3 years ago, no one would know what it was. Like, you know, lockdown has really helped it. I, for one, was a lockdown TikToker. I love it. It's my go-to. Like, I just want to be entertained. But you need to find what people are engaging with. And, yeah, just find your niche on the platform. And then once you've got that in place, then you can start pushing paid content out to increase, you know, the overall likes and follows. And, like, there's always technicalities behind it. So, for instance, if you want to measure specific events on site, so any conversions or even a page view, then you need to have that pixel in place, and you can't run any paid activity without having 1,000 events come through. So it's little things like that, where that's why it's really important to have that knowledge behind it. And that's what my blog was about, just kind of giving people that extra knowledge around, you should be considering it, but these are the things you need to do before considering.
Cool, very good. So while we're talking about measuring performance, would you say paid social's more of a branding channel, more of a direct response channel, and how do you think we should measure the success of paid social? How should we be talking about it?
It really depends on what the brand's KPIs are, because we can do both, and we can do them both in same kind of campaign funnel. Basically, at each different phase of the funnel, we have different objectives. So, you know, that one objective could be to raise brand awareness, whereas the other objective further down the funnel will be that direct response, whether that is a lead or a conversion, etc. So yeah, it's very important though that they are looked at separately, because you are optimizing towards different KPIs. Because a lot of the time, when someone doesn't really have an understanding of paid social, they think that if they put X amount of budget into us, even though we're running quite a lot of campaigns with different objectives, they don't understand that you're going to get different results for each of the objective. And you can't say, like, if I put 10k in, then how many, I don't know, conversions am I going to get out, and what's my cost per conversion, when 3k of that might have gone in awareness. So a lot of the time it is a big education piece to clients, but it's all fun and games.
And what does... go on, you go first.
I was just going to say, do you think that clients should not research, but they should, like, learn more about paid social before they put their investment in, because then it saves conversations in the long run? Because I know that's something that, you know, I feel dead weird asking you questions, because I know that, like, you know, you'd answer if I was just asking them off. But, like, you know, I feel like most of the time when clients aren't 100% sure of what paid social does and how it separates, like, on a KPI, like, point of view, it elongates the conversation, like, every single update or report that we have, because we have to explain it all over again. Whereas if we had, like, a meeting beforehand and just said, this is this, do you think that would help? Or if they just did it off their own back instead of us telling them?
I think you've kind of answered the question yourself. Yeah, I did. Like, having that initial meeting, obviously, like, it's fine if people don't have that knowledge. Like, it is a newer channel compared to some of the other channels, you know, like PPC has been here for probably longer than you've been born, Liv, but let's just skip over that. So, yeah, sometimes it is about that education piece, but that's what agencies are for. You know, if they were doing this in-house, then, yeah, it would be a concern because there's so many things that you can do wrong. But, you know, if they come to us, then we can have that education piece whilst also owning the activity so that they can understand what we're going to be doing for them and why and how they should be looking at the results that we're giving them.
And what would you say... what would you say the perfect strategy is, Amy? So let's say your client comes to you and they've got unlimited budget. How would you kind of chop that up and what would your approach be?
Oh, okay. So full funnel approach. We'd look at different platforms. So depending what the brand is, you know, different platforms work best for specific ones. So we'd see what would fit well with them, look at the specific audiences that we could target, make sure everything is in place, and then because there's unlimited budget, we'd go after all the premium ad formats that you have to pay for. So we'd throw in things like I don't know, like the top views on like Twitter and TikTok, and we'd do like takeover days, and yeah, we'd also be working closely with their creative agency because they've got all the budget in the world, right? So they can have the best creative agency. So we'd be making top class ads that would really resonate with the users. Yeah, that would be like best in class strategy. And also having that always on element, but then having the budget to then do like increased campaigns around certain seasonal times and having specific content for that.
Do you think that, I'm just trying to sort of, like, think in my head who this brand would be, but let's say this brand was Apple, would you say, like, right, slow down, who owns Apple these days? All right, anyway, slow down, Mr. Apple, we don't need all that money, can we just have £1 million for this month? And then we'll see where we go from that. Or do you reckon it will just be, no, okay, then thanks, Mr. Apple. We'll take all that we can. But what would you do?
Well, I'd kind of plan, because obviously when you do your plan, your forecasts, then you'd be able to see what your audience size is looking like. So you can see how much budget you can put against them. And then you could just have like that yearly view, that yearly strategy, and split that down into your quarters, split that down into your months. So... I mean, there'd be a lot of work behind it, which is why I mentioned before it's very like data heavy, but that would be how I would start. And then that, if they had unlimited budget and was asking me what budget I'd want, that is the way that I'd then go to them and be like, okay, well, by doing this strategy on this platform with this audience, with this amount of creatives, and this is the budget that we need for that. And then and you know, you carry on, and then you get your overall part of budget that you'd like.
Nice. Of it. And what do you think are the most common mistakes that you see on paid social? And it doesn't have to be like thing, like, I don't know, like what have you spotted that you thought, bloody hell, I could have done that a lot better?
A lot of the time location targeting is wrong. So like you can get served an ad for a specific store when you're not anywhere near it. So this actually, I had this experience with one brand, and I was getting served, like, I think it was their London store, and I was just at home, and I was like, whoa. So I just dropped them a note, and I was like, this is probably a bit geeky, but I was like, FYI, work in marketing, think this is wrong, you might want to sort it out. They're like, oh, it was quite a big brand, and I was like, yo. But one that I've seen recently as well, actually, which I haven't done anything about, but one of the UK's leading supermarkets has a video out at the minute, and it's all about getting shopping delivered. But within like the first few seconds of the video, there's an extra bit of text that is shown behind the delivery van. And it says, I think it says like ERS, and it just like pops up for a second. Obviously it's a mistake, but one, I'm like, how has this been signed off? How has no one spotted this? There's so many processes that go in place. Like your creative agency will have to obviously create, or in-house will create that. That has to get signed off. then whoever's creating the ads will see that, and they have to get, hopefully, internally checked so that person would see it. And I'm just like, how has that gone unnoticed? Like, that would not go unnoticed here.
No, but, it wouldn't.
Yeah.
It wouldn't. But you are the Type process queen. As well. You are the process queen, so you'd get it.
I am the process queen. But yeah, lots of typos as well. That can be one. It's so easy to make a mistake. That's why processes are so important, because you can literally copy and paste anything into any part of the ad. So whether that's the URL, the headline, the copy, putting the wrong image on, choosing the wrong Facebook page. I've heard stories about, like, at one of my old agencies, don't know why I say agencies when you worked for one. So my old agency, that some Twitter content was posted from another client's Twitter account.
No, it was, I remember this, that they posted a personal tweet and it was something quote contentious from their client's brand account. Like, they thought they were logged into Twitter as themselves and they posted it as the brand.
Do they get the sack?
I can't remember what happened, but obviously it was a really big brand as well. Like, this wasn't just like John's Tyres around the corner. No. This was a massive multinational corporation. And I can't remember what they tweeted, but it was something quite contentious, like definitely something they wouldn't want their brand associated with.
Or like a political view.
It got took down pretty quickly, but you know what? Something along those lines. I can't remember exactly what it was, but you know what the internet's like. People screen grabbed it and kept like replying to other tweets with the screen grab of the original tweet. You know, you don't get away with anything these days, do you? Like, yeah,
oh people. My God.
It was only up for a few minutes, but people were on it like that, screen grabbing it, and yeah.
Have you seen what Innocent Smoothies have done?
That was a pretty big mistake that somebody made.
Yeah. Have you seen what Innocent Smoothies have done recently?
Their social media is brilliant.
Oh, I love... Honestly, they're on it. They are on it. Like a carb on it. And recently, though, their media man, he's like high up there. He got married and he was running the account and he changed the Innocent Smoothie profile picture to a picture of his wedding.
Yes.
But because they've got like such good community, not even community management, but such a good sort of like organic profile, I think everyone just took it just like ha ha ha. Whereas like if it was, I don't know, someone that isn't as sort of like active on organic, I think it would have been like, lol, you fool, like you silly bugger, why have you done that?
Yeah. And the social media team went to town with it as well, didn't they? Because they were sharing pictures of it, saying we're so glad it's us that's not made a mistake for once, and sharing screen grab of a WhatsApp conversation. They did a good job with that. To be fair, they turned a mistake into some good content, didn't they?
They really did.
And so, outside of some of the biggest, most common mistakes, there's obviously lots of people going for that perfect campaign. What are your top tips for running a successful campaign? And I guess, Liv, you can answer this as well as a paid social pro.
So I would say the right targeting, the right budget, and the right content. Content is key. And as we've just discussed, QA process is so important, because everyone does make mistakes, like we're all human at the end of the day. So but in terms of like the most important, as long as you've got, like, to be fair, as long as you've got decent targeting in place, not even the best targeting, and you've got an all right budget, your content just needs to be right, your ads needs to be right, because otherwise they're not going to resonate. It's pretty hard to get your targeting wrong, but I mean, you can get it wrong if you put in the wrong the wrong interest in for what your brand is. But I would say that the creative is the main one, because a bad creative just isn't going to resonate with users. And like, if you've got too much copy, like I've seen some ads and their copy is just, you have to, on Facebook you have to click see more and it's like, it's huge, like, no.
How about you, Liv? Have you got any extra top tips?
To be fair, all of my top tips are from Amy's teaching.
Well, this is where I was going to say, it's like the student had overtaken the master, you see.
But not yet. No, definitely not yet. Definitely not yet. But I think just sort of like echoing what Amy said, like with content, like you don't want to have, like if you have a video, you don't want it to be 60 seconds long. You don't want it to be like 15 minutes long. We, you know, we've spotted some, you know, clients or, you know, just overall people using Facebook ads and they've got like a 15 minute video. And they're trying to promote it and, promote through players, which is sort of like where you watch the whole video. Who is going to sit there and watch 15 minutes of a video and think, yeah, wowee, like that is enthralling. I know I do it, but I do it with like dogs on a skateboard, not whatever that video was. So, yeah, just literally what Amy said.
So you both touched on content there. So exactly how crucial is it? And obviously, it's kind of a little bit beyond our control, isn't it? Because you get given a lot of the assets. Can you still run a successful campaign with bad assets? Can you kind of polish a turd, to use that that nice phrase? Or if you've not got the assets, are you doomed from the off? What do you think?
Good question. So what we tend to do is we'll always recommend that, like, what the assets should be in terms of best practices. I will send over the specs before we get supplied them, especially if the client is unsure. But then if we do receive some and we're like, oh, then that's when we go back and be like, you know, we'd recommend XYZ. If we do get that really stubborn client, then that are like, no, we want to go live with this 2 minute video, it's very important to the business, then, you know, at that point we can't do anything with it. It's going to be 2 minutes. They don't want it cut down. So we just have to caveat that the results may be compromised because of that. But in terms of other formats, like specific statics, there are certain tools within some of the platforms where you can like kind of polish it off a little bit, but it's nothing amazing. And as a user, like you would tell that it's a pretty basic, well, we would, because we're in the, because we know, but I don't think it would come across as you know, best in class at all, because you can make videos from static images, and like, I like to compare it to, do you remember word art?
Yes, that was a favourite in middle school, wasn't it, to jazz up your work?
Yeah, it's a bit like that, so it's like, you can use it, but it's not going to do that much. But worst case scenario, you can make a little slideshow video out of some static images and add some wacky text over the top.
I think as well, just, you know, again, answering off the back of Amy's point to that question as well, even though it wasn't addressed to me, recently I've been having the opinion, like, if you can't handle the heat, get out the kitchen. Like, if you do not have the content that is for like a specific platform, don't go on it, like, because you're just going to be wasting your money. And there's, if it is that stubborn client like Amy says, who aren't going to take no for an answer, it is just, you, like, you are just going to say, you are throwing something at the wall and hoping it's going to stick and it's going to fly right off, and then that's 50 quid, 500 quid, 5 grand down the drain. But it's just about sort of like putting the responsibility on the creative, not the strategy, because I think that's where we, you know, pride ourselves on, and it's not in that content creation.
Interesting. There's obviously a number of different platforms available to use as a paid social specialist. So we've got Facebook and Instagram, TikTok, which we love and talk about a lot, Snapchat, Pinterest. How do they all compare to one another? Is there certain platforms that are better for certain demographics or different sectors, or is it kind of, does every platform work for every advertiser? What's your thoughts?
It's definitely that certain platforms are better for certain brands or certain strategies. So Facebook and Instagram, they're like an all-round good egg, you know, they've been there for so long, they've got the most sophisticated targeting that's there, so you can get a lot from that platform, from those platforms. TikTok, obviously we've mentioned, is growing really rapidly. was originally good for growing that awareness. You'd normally go quite broad with your targeting, but they are starting to include like shopping elements. So it's going to be intriguing to see how that grows and if like there's a lot of retargeting lower funnel activity going on there. Looking at the likes of Pinterest, so that's really good to give inspiration to users. You know, people go to Pinterest to plan. So again, kind of growing that awareness. And then like LinkedIn, like, you know, that is typically for the likes of B2B, you know, that has got very niche targeting, you know, job titles, industries, etc. So you wouldn't necessarily use that across the board because it just wouldn't work.
Yeah. And do you have a favourite platform to work on?
I'd probably say Facebook and Instagram, just because there's so many different ad formats and different strategies that you can do. Like, they are one of the platforms that do have updates and try to keep up with things. So like, for instance, with TikTok emerging, you've seen Reels really lift off. I really like the use of an Instagram story poll as well. I will put that out there. I like serving that. Because a lot of brands won't think of it. Like, a lot of the clients that we talk to, and I'm like, if you want to just raise like some engagement for a couple of weeks, just put a cheeky poll. People love a poll.
Mm. I love a poll.
How about you, Liv? What's your favourite platform to work with?
On it, I'm just like a little, I don't know, a parrot, because I'm just going to say just an Amy Clone. I'm like a B-tech Amy Clone. I'm trying to be a perfect Amy Clone. Yeah, Facebook and Instagram. It's the most sophisticated one at the minute. And as much as I love TikTok, it's quite difficult to build your audiences out, because like the For You page is so like specific to every single person. So your targeting needs to be quite broad, but then that means that like I could be serving an ad to like you, Chris, and then I don't know, an 11-year-old who likes Fortnite, like at the same time. And sometimes that there's just such a crossover that you can't predict, whereas with Facebook you know exactly who you're going to serve to, what time, like what ads are going to show. And it's just brilliant. But then I don't know if that's because that was the first platform that I was taught as well. So like I was taught the best first. Taught's the right word, isn't it?
Taught's a word, yeah.
Yeah. You know, when you say something so much, it loses its meaning. Yeah. Because I was taught that first, I think I was given like the best option first. And then like when I was learning the other platforms, I was like, what's this? Do you know what though? In fact, I like Twitter as well. Twitter's nice. But Pinterest, Jesus Christ, that is horrible. Hate it. Sorry, Pinterest. What? It's just horrid. It's just, no, okay. I love as a consumer, I like Pinterest. As a someone that works and builds on it, I hate it. It doesn't make sense. I don't know if that's just because I'm a bit slow. But Amy, what do you think? Do you like Pinterest?
I don't mind it.
Do you?
Yeah, maybe it's because you haven't had like as much experience on it as I have, maybe. Potentially. Because I really like how on Pinterest you can do the max width videos, because before they came out, all your ads were just like, they'd just get lost in the feed. But when the max width video came out, like that takes up so much of a user's feed that like you do stop and look at it when you scroll through. But it is hard when you have got the clients that are looking at like ROI, because Pinterest is never going to be the best one for that. But if you've got a client that's like, you know what, I want to just like raise some awareness, then it's quite nice to do that on there.
Good diplomatic answer from Amy there. I was thinking the Pinterest rep's going to be calling me after this.
Do you know, I was just about to say that the Pinterest reps from Pinterest. No, the reps from Pinterest are my faves. I love them. Like, shout out save, to the good Pinterest save, reps. Olives.
Good save. I do love them. Hate the platform, but love the reps. I'm sure things like TikTok targeting are going to get more specific over time, isn't it? Like Facebook have been refining this for what, 10 plus years. I don't know when Facebook advertising officially launched. And they've had a lot of practice to refine the target, haven't they? I'm sure it wasn't that good from the off. I'm sure TikTok will get there before you live. Don't worry.
I hope so.
Are there any sectors where you think paid social just wouldn't work?
I'd say very, very niche audiences, because you need to have a big enough audience size to target. And sometimes, like clients that I've worked with in the past, your audience size is just not going to be big enough for who you want to target, and you're not, especially when they're not willing to potentially like branch out to grow that awareness. That's when it can be quite hard, but we can always find an audience. It's just sometimes it just doesn't work because, like I said, it is too small.
And which platforms do you think brands should focus on the most? Should they look to spread across multiple platforms, or are you more likely to see results from one specifically?
It depends on the brand. So as I've kind of touched on, it is important to use the right platform or platforms for the brand that you're working on. Working across multiple platforms can work well, as some users are on certain ones compared to others. They can work well in tandem. You're reaching a larger audience pool across multiple. So one example that I've seen myself recently is Doc Martens. So they've got they've obviously launched a new campaign at the minute, because I'm getting served that odds on Facebook, Instagram and TikTok at the minute. And obviously it's nailed in me. Like, I've seen it and I can speak about it, and they've raised that awareness with me. So it's worked. Like, seeing it across multiple platforms can have its advantages, because you do kind of nail it into the user.
The most annoying thing of paid social for me is when, like, you go on a website and then for the next, like, week, all you get on your Instagram feed or on your stories is retargeting. It's like, I didn't buy anything for a reason. Just because you're going to show me an ad another 20 times doesn't mean I'm going to buy it again.
Sometimes I'll do it just to be added into that exclusion. Just get off. Leave me alone. I've just had a thought, and it's just like listening to you, to Amy speak then. I don't think that... this is like, it's sort of relevant, but it's sort of not. I wasn't served ads until the year I started digital marketing.
I'm sure you absolutely were.
I'm sure I wasn't, because I was 18. And you can't... Oh, no. Yeah, scrap that, edit that out.
Did you just have your ad blocker turned on, Liv, until you started the industry?
Yeah, probably. That's probably parental guidance, Mandy, was swiping all their ads away. I love it. This one is irrelevant, would you rather. So would you rather have the most specific audience that means you can reach, like, that one person that you know is going to convert every single time, but the world's most naff creative ever, like word art creative with a stick man in the middle? Or would you want, like, rubbish targeting and the world's best creative ever?
Rubbish targeting and the best creative ever?
Yeah,
but I can look into the targeting and make optimizations and recommendations.
No, yes, you can't. You can't. Because, like, do you reckon, so let me say again, if you can't edit the targeting or the creative, so you had to choose either one, do you reckon your answer would change between sector as well?
Yeah, probably, because obviously if it's like a B2B really, really niche audience and you've got the client banging on your back, if you know that you can get that lower funnel conversion by having a rubbish creative but it still works, then yeah, I'll take that. Easy life.
Yeah. What about if it's like an irrelevant creative? So in my head, I keep on thinking about it in the questions where it was like, any sectors where it doesn't work, and this, like, if it was like a funeral director's and you were served an ad and it's like, be happy, 50% off, or like something on an ad, do you reckon it would work, or do you reckon that would be like,
yeah, you gotta be very careful with sectors like that. So I wouldn't be too comfortable being that jolly and not very sensitive around that subject.
Yeah.
I mean, you might hit the very, very niche target of people that are glad somebody's dead and are looking to bury them for as cheap as possible.
Is that really that niche?
I don't know. You tell me. And obviously, as paid socials continue to grow and evolve, there's been other challenges, hasn't there, that we've had to consider. And the big one's been data privacy, and it's still a huge factor within this service. How did data privacy and the blocking of certain cookies, how did it impact social, and how have you guys managed to mitigate around that?
So Facebook has probably been the best platform with this. So they've basically come up with a solution that bridges the gap in the loss of tracking following that iOS update, people being able to opt out of tracking, etc. So that has helped, but the issue is that you have to rely on the clients to implement the solution, because we physically can't do it, because it's basically a server that needs to be added on site. So that's the frustration behind it, because there's only so much pushing and guiding we can do when it's actually like a developer team that needs to implement it. But at least Facebook were pretty quick to respond and had something there. The other platforms are starting to follow suit, but nothing has been released as of yet, but they will be doing similar. But in terms of our actual performance with our clients, a lot of them did hop on getting that server implemented, and a lot of them do primarily just run on Facebook and Instagram, so luckily for us, we haven't seen like a massive impact, because the majority of our clients have kind of been listening to our recommendations and jumping on, because at the end of the day, it helps them. So
do you think we'll see more platforms trying to completely own the process? Because I'm just thinking, like, there's something on TikTok, for example, I bought a pair of headphones for £1.99 that broke after about a month. But I completely did that purchase within, like, the TikTok platform, if you like, which obviously negates some of that. Do you think we'll see more of that, or do you think that the bigger players like Facebook and Instagram are the same, aren't they? Do you think they've just not got the appetite to do that?
I think it's definitely something that all platforms will try to do, because at the end of the day, you want to give the user the best experience and the most streamlined purchase process as possible. Because if you think of yourself as a user, if you see something that you like and you click on it, but then it takes you to site, and then you got to do this, and then you got to do that, and then you got to do that before you even buy, you're not going to do it. You're going to be like, oh, nah, like. But if it's literally like one or two clicks of a button and you got them, nice little process, wasn't stressful for the user, you got what you wanted within a couple of clicks, easy.
And what do you both think the next big thing in social is going to be? Is it going to be metaverse related, or do you think it's something that's going to pop up before then?
I'm keeping my eye on VR. I am.
Whoa.
Because so I have like played on an Oculus, and it's just mind-blowing. Like, if you haven't been able to, just try and find someone that will let you have a go on it, because it is crazy. And I really think that there is, like, it's just going to boom and just get bigger. And it's crazy. Like, I was playing Beat Saber. If you haven't heard of it, don't know what it is. It's a bit like, remember Guitar Hero back in the day? It's a bit, yeah, bit like that, but you're using your hands as, like, you got your lightsabers to saber the things coming at you to play the song. And I was playing that with my friend, but I could see her, but we weren't, obviously, this was all virtually, but I could see her avatar and we could wave to each other, like we could engage with each other. And I'm just thinking, if you can do that, then I think that brands will really hop on, like, the trend of like AR and getting, I mean, Snapchat have kind of done this within Snapchat itself where you can try on things through like lenses, but I think doing it through VR, like, and potentially having a really seamless shopping experience, like seeing something on there, being able to look at what it would look like on yourself and then buying it within that space, that's what I'm thinking might happen, so I'm going to keep my eye on that.
Parrot again. I'm saying what Amy's saying. Only because I've been around Amy's house and I've played on her Oculus and I've also played Beat Saber, and it was immense. It was fabulous. And Amy's boyfriend Sam showed me around his little VR house. Honestly, it was fab. It was so, so good. But has anyone watched Black Mirror?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, have you watched USS Callister? Where he's like, he creates his own little Star Trek show and he puts his like little things on his head and then he goes and he's in like Star Trek.
Yeah, yeah, I think, yeah. I know the one you mean. It's been a few years since we watched it.
I love how you just say, I feel like that, yeah, we're just like, yeah, get on. But yeah, I think that something like, it's gonna, it'll happen and it'll happen quite soon. Like, VR marketing and stuff like that, but then I think like something will go wrong like that and we'll get stuck in the VR world and you can't take your headset off and then you're just stuck there. That's just a little conspiracy theory that, okay, well,
I mean, that's basically the Matrix, isn't it? That's the plot.
Exactly. I have a question, and it's not related to like the latest, you know, what's coming up, but what is your opinion, Amy, on influencer marketing?
I think it's good. Like, a lot of users are more likely to make a purchase if they're seeing someone that they, I don't know, they kind of trust, because they recognise them, they engage with them organically. So yeah, I mean, I've seen it work before. I've seen increased results from using influencers in the past, so I think it's definitely something for brands to consider, especially on the likes of TikTok, where they have the TikTok creator marketplace, so you basically shop for your influencer that you want to use, if you're a brand. Yeah, I just think it's a great way for brands to find who they want to work with easily, and there's like filters so you can choose how many followers they've got, choose where they live, etc., and really find someone that suits your brand, apart from obviously going after other people that they might just spot organically anyway.
And who is your, well, this is quite like a subjective question, but who's your favourite influencer?
Oh,
well, name names, let's get engaging with this podcast.
Well, so I have a house Instagram, which doesn't have that many followers, so it's not a plug. but...
You might as well plug it, Amy, if you're not listening to our...
Plug it.
And back in the, like, I don't know, 4 years ago, maybe, I started following this woman called Mrs. Hinch before she got big. And it's been quite nice to, like, watch her grow. Like, I remember when she got her first 1 million followers and I was like, oh, no way. And then like she started like getting noticed and working with brands and going on This Morning, and I don't normally like following celebrities. Like, I know some people do, but I've never been interested in like that side of social media. But with her, I think, because to me, like, some people might see her as a celebrity now, but to me she's not. She's just a house Instagram that I just followed from near enough day one, because it's a really nice community on there with like the house accounts, because you don't know who anyone is, but it's like your little hype gang, like people hype you up, and that probably sounds really lame, but it's like a nice space to be in. Like, there's no competitiveness and it's people asking for advice and giving recommendations and things like that. So yeah, she's like one of the only ones that I still kind of engage with, and I like watching her stories, and it's really nice to see how she's growing, because she's just a normal person that just started cleaning and people just liked her cleaning stories like I did. She was funny, she was engaging. I've read both her books as well, and I think she's a really lovely person. So it's just a shame that people like that will get, like, the trolls. But she didn't go after it. It just happened because of how well she did what she did without even knowing she did it.
Who's your favourite, Liv? Books about?
Oh, my favourite. Currently, and I've got a funny story behind it again, it's, oh God, I'm so embarrassing. Mr. Beast.
I like Mr. Beast, yeah, I like him. Yeah.
So I went to a football match last night, just a local one, up the Scholars, Chinatown FC, and we were walking, me and Ellis, here's my boyfriend, we were walking past the stands, and it was full of kids yesterday. It was full of kids, and I mean, like, under 15. So I was using, like, age privilege of just sort of, like, walking past, like, whoa, like, get out of my way. And we walked past this stand, and I heard the kids go, whoa, that man looks famous about Ellis. And then they were going, Mr. Beast, Mr. Beast, Mr. Beast. And I was winding him up going, Mr. Bean, Mr. Bean.
Poor Ellis.
But yeah, Mr. Beast is definitely my favourite because he's just like, I don't know, he's proper cringe, but I love it. Like, I just feel like he's really addictive to watch because it's like, he always, like, deals with so much money. And then if he ever throws something in, like, you can win an Xbox. I just think, like, I don't know. You just watch it and you're just like, whoa. And it's the same with, like, smaller people. Like, I follow people called, like, Woody and Kleiner on Facebook.
Mm.
And they're, like, two pranksters. But then they do challenges like that. Not with, like, £1 million, but they do it with, like, £100. And I just think anything that's sort of, like, a little bit cringy and a little bit fun, I'm always going to engage with a little bit more. What about you, Chris? Don't say Mr. Bean.
I tend to hate influencers, to be honest.
Do you?
The ones I hate are, like, the vacuous ones whose whole premise is standing around in a bikini. Do you know what I mean? Like, the ones who've got no discernible talent and basically get Instagram followers for posting half-naked pictures. But I hate them. I like the ones that do interesting things. So I quite like Mr. Beast, but he's almost not an influencer anymore, is he?
Because,
like, he recreated Squid Games. Like, that's, he's basically a broadcaster now because he's got that much, like, that level of resource behind him. I quite like Woody and Clyde. I think they're quite funny. I like Francis Bourgeois.
Oh, God, just because that's such a good one.
Because he's just so, like, I don't know, it's just so nice seeing someone get actually passionate and enthusiastic about something, really quite, like, straightforward, isn't it? Like, just looking at, just seeing a train, but it brings him so much happiness, like, it's hard not to enjoy, isn't it? And then the other one I really, really like is called The Pool Guy, and Amy, you should look him up.
I've seen him.
The Pool Guy, he just cleans really dirty swimming pools.
Hollyboy, if you want the pool work, that one.
That's him. He just cleans really dirty swimming pools, and it's just so satisfying to see the before and after.
Have you got Cal the Dragon on your TikTok at the minute?
Yeah. Have you seen
all the beef?
I'm well versed with Cal the Dragon and his beef, yeah. I feel sorry for him. I think he's being exploited by people, isn't he?
Oh. But, getting deep,
I'm sure he's doing alright out of it, out of scoring goals against the gnome in his garden and stuff, like.
Oh, his most recent one was, like, Dragonfire FC versus Wheelie Bin. Oh! So cute.
Bless him.
Hopping straight back into the podcast. What have you guys been influenced to buy? And it can be from influencers, or it can just be from a really, really good social ad.
I know exactly what you asked.
This is a triggered one.
Oh, God. Okay, so, quite a few years ago, it was when I was working in paid social, but when I was, like, early into my career, so maybe, like, I don't know, 5 years ago, I got served an ad from Vaseline for a personalised Vaseline tub, like a tin, you know, the ones for your lip balm. And I was like, oh, that's well cool. Like, I want a little personalised tip. So it was £5. I was like, oh, it's a bit, you know, a bit spenny, but I get my personalised tin, so that's cool. And it came, and basically all they'd done was, on a normal Vaseline tin, they just stuck a sticker on top of the tin with your name on. So I paid £5 to have
for an Amy sticker. Yeah,
basically. But I will say that because it's on the lid, I can put the lid on any tub of Vaseline I like. So even if I run out, well, yeah, when that one ran out, I just popped it on a new one. But yeah, the sticker is a bit dirty now because it's 5 years old. So yeah, I was a bit gutted about that. But yeah, I was a bit disappointed when that came.
I have a Vaseline-based question. So you know the balms that come in like a little, the ones that you're on about where you put on your lips. Do you think, I know, I already know the answer to this, but like, why don't people just use the big ones as well? You know, the one that's a bit like gooier.
Bit big to carry around in your handbag, isn't it?
Well, but even still, like, you could just refill them tubs with it. But it, like, it seems like a different product completely, doesn't it? It seems like there's a lip balm and then there's a big tub.
Have you seen the TikToks of the guy that does normal things, but it just looks like it should be illegal because no one does it?
Walking outside with a glass of water.
Yeah. I feel like that's one of them. Like, if you just whacked out a tub of Vaseline to do
that. Pull out a giant Vaseline tub in the pub and scoop some on. Yeah.
You know, I love the TikTok videos at the minute, and it's a, sorry, this is quite misogynist. Is it misogynist? No, it's quite sexist. About men putting on lip balm.
Oh, yeah, with the lips.
And then, like, they purse their lips and, like, it just cracks me every single time. And, like, every single time I see him, I'm like, Ellis, put some lip balm on. Just, like, watch him, like, awkwardly put it on. Anyway, Vaseline-based question.
The best thing of that is that you did the impression so that me and Chris can see. Yeah. No one else will know what you did.
We need to have a video podcast because there's some stuff on here. Chris, what have you been influenced to buy? Because I feel like yours is going to be, like, shorts.
I nearly got influenced to buy some shorts, yeah. I talked in the last podcast how I nearly bought some shorts off TikTok, and then you had to pay £50 to be a VIP member to get the offer.
Oh, yes.
I didn't. Very little, to be honest. The £199 headphones I bought off TikTok, and they were great until one of them broke. Amy Cox is influencing me to look at buying a VR headset, though. I'm quite intrigued. Don't have one. Never had a go. But I've seen lots of hilarious videos of people, like, falling over whilst using them and forgetting that they're still in the real world. But no, that's about it, really. I'm a paid social marketer's worst nightmare because it's very rare that I'll buy anything.
I'm their dream. I think that's where we, like, balance out, because you're the nightmare and I'm the dream. Like, I will buy anything.
Literally anything flashes up on your Facebook feed.
Whoa, like, I've got sparkly. Yeah, literally.
Vaseline with my name on. Get me one of them. Yeah.
Yeah. I bought a nail kit. Not like painting, like, you know, like your trimmers and tweezers in there and everything. And it was all pink. I've got it right here, so I'm not going to show you because no one else will be able to see it because it's all, you know, audio. But it's absolutely crap. I'm fuming about it, to be fair, but I don't want to send it back now. Just because I've bought it.
And you've probably used it.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
We've strayed randomly off topic in the last 5 minutes. I mean, so it's probably time to start thinking about wrapping up, which we normally do with Liv's random question of the podcast. So have you got one for us to finish on, Liv?
I have, but it's not really that random because, spoilers, sorry, I did ask it to Alro in the last Crow podcast, but I'm just loving it at the minute and I ask it to everyone. And I do think I've already asked it to Amy, but what is your toxic trait? So it's around the same lines as, you know, what do you hate?
You asked us this in one of our team meetings and I found it really hard to answer. I think it would be that I hate I want people to help me clean, but then I know that they won't do it as good as I'll do it. So then...
Yeah.
Yeah, getting a little complex with myself.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I just got a new one yesterday that I think that I've got a really unrecognisable face. So that I really think that I could, like, travel anywhere and I could go through a group of people that I know and they just wouldn't know me. Which I know isn't the case. Like, I know that if I saw someone from school, they'd be like, oh, you're right, Liv. But I just think that, like, I could just go anywhere undetected. Not that I'd want to, but... Yeah, what about you, Christopher Roberts?
Did we do this on the last podcast?
We did.
I can't remember what I said then.
But Alro just... like smashed into it straight away and then I was like, whoa, yeah. So
I think
I'll get the chance to ask you.
Okay, it's probably impatience. Like, I'm incredibly impatient with people.
Do you know what, I feel like I did ask you and you said the exact same thing last time.
Well, at least I'm consistent. That's my non-toxic trait. You are consistent,
but do you have like another one? Like, I don't know, I don't know, I get out of bed in the morning and I do 5-star jumps. I don't know.
Is that toxic? No, maybe. I don't think I do. I have another one, I'm afraid. I'm not as toxic a person as you, Liv. I don't keep discovering new ones.
It's not even like, do you shout at the missus because she's snoring and then you start snoring? Like, it's like funny things.
I mean, nothing else springs to mind because I'm just so brilliant. All around, aren't I? But there we go. Any more random questions, Liv?
I think that's it. I think we've covered Vaseline and we've covered toxic traits. I'm quite finished, yeah.
We've managed to get through the germ-filled podcast without too much sniffling or sneezing or coughing, haven't we? So that we can count that as a win. Thank you very much for being our guest, Amy Cox. It's been a pleasure. And that brings us to the end of this episode of the Assorted Digital Ramblings podcast. We're almost in April already, and on that note, we'll be joined in April by Alison to talk all things international marketing. If you've enjoyed this episode, make sure to leave a review on whatever platform you're listening on, 5 stars, obviously, as well as subscribing or following so you'll be notified next time. There's some fresh digital rambles for you to listen to. You can follow Click Through Marketing on all social media platforms, although I don't think we're on Pinterest. And learn more about us via our... That's because Liv doesn't want us to. And learn more about us via our newly redesigned website, clickthrough-marketing.com. Thanks, everyone. Goodbye.